On Wednesday of last week, October 25th, police in Honolulu began writing tickets for people who get distracted by their cell phones while walking in a crosswalk. Honolulu is the first major city in the country to pass such a law, citing a high rate of pedestrians being hit in crosswalks as they are texting or looking at their cell phones. Keeping laws would probably not be one of our readily favorite activities. We tend to think of laws as restrictive, and we keep them because we know they are necessary for good order in our homes, neighborhoods, workplaces, and society at large. If we deem it safe and hurting no one, we might roll through a stop sign in the middle of the night when no one is astir. Even some religious laws can be set aside for good reason. For example, if one is sick with the flu, it certainly makes better sense to stay home from Mass one Sunday rather than go to church and risk infecting the rest of us. Some laws, however, are so far-reaching that they ought to never be set aside. Laws that protect life are unbreakable. Well, life often demands focus on what we deem important, how we spend our time, what sacrifices we are willing to make, and how much it will cost. The rules and resolutions we make are often good indicators of what we consider central to our livelihood. Well, such was the life of Martin Luther, an Augustinian monk. Back in 1517, he expressed concern for the livelihood of the church. Luther disseminated 95 theses to various church bishops and officials in Wittenberg, Germany. He had hoped that these 95 debating and talking points would be the basis of a discussion of some of the dubious practices of the church. Luther was deeply concerned about selling get-out-of-jail-free cards called indulgences. These indulgences release people from needing to repent of the bad things they did. And the more serious the crime, the higher the cost of the indulgence. And a popular jingle at the time that the seller of indulgence would sing was this: as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. Luther's bold proclamation set into motion a series of theological and cultural events of tsunamic proportions that would eventually become the Protestant Reformation. As Luther was confronted by the theologians of his time for his strong convictions, so too is Jesus confronted by the Pharisees regarding the rules good and upstanding Jews should observe. Which one of the Torah regulations is at the core of all the other commandments, Jesus? With so many rules and regulations, some would get more attention than others. The lawyer's question in today's gospel, while apparently meant to test Jesus, is a legitimate question. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And Jesus responds by quoting two commands from the law. And for Jesus, These two encompass all the others. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God is the first and the greatest commandment, and therefore, by extension, loving neighbor as self is equivalent to loving God. So Jesus affirms that the whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. While this linking of the two was not unique to Jesus, it does get at the very heart of Jesus' mission and ministry. The Old Testament reading today from Exodus greatly concretizes Jesus' teaching. The alien, the widow, the orphan, and the poor are our neighbors. In most societies, these people are vulnerable in so many ways because they have little or no legal or economic rights, privileges, or power. Their survival depends on the goodness, generosity, and compassion of others. We are commanded to treat others with compassion because our loving God is merciful and compassionate toward us, most especially when we are in need. So if you or I were fleeing for our life, would we not want someone to take us in and offer protection? If we were starving, would we not want someone to give us a job so we could buy food? If we have a stance on immigration, undocumented aliens, or similar issues as poverty, maybe we should ask ourselves, where does that stance come from? These are not merely social or political issues. Any issue of how our brothers and sisters are treated must be considered in the light of our faith. These readings help us to focus on what is important in Christian living. And Paul's letter today, he affirms the witness of the Thessalonians, lives lived in joy of serving God. Does the word sound forth and emanate in all directions from our lips? How should we harmonize the demands of love and compassion for all of God's people in our relationships with our fellow Christians? On this last Sunday of October, a date which has long been called Reformation Sunday by Protestant denominations, the church commemorates the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. We recall the progress that has been made in reconciliation, in mutual understanding between the various Christian churches, especially since the Second Vatican Council. In November of 1999, the Lutheran World Federation and the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity issued the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification. And this is what it stated: by grace alone, in faith in Christ's saving work, and not because of any merit on our part, we are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit, who renews our hearts while equipping us and calling us toward good works. It's strange that after 500 years, this fundamental Reformation truth about justification by grace through faith is still so hard for us to accept. As Catholic Christians, we too must pay attention to this significant commemoration, recalling it, realistically seeing how we might have contributed toward it. We must seek reconciliation and always strive for Christian unity. Today's scriptures provide an excellent opportunity to expound on what unites us as Christians. These passages help us focus on the essential aspects of discipleship while letting go of those things that are not crucial or essential to Christian living. So today we should ask ourselves, in the light of these commandments, how have I grown in loving God with my whole being? And how have I grown in loving my neighbor as myself? Focusing on what unites us as Christians, love of God and love of neighbor as self, reaffirms that nothing is more important to Christian living than this law of love.